Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Much appreciation again to our guy B. Scott for hanging out with us for the previous hour. You hear it, man. We have a damn a ball. In here. I was about to say some things I shouldn't say. One thing I should say, though, Texans Ticket Tuesday.
It's happening.
We active, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around. Stick around. Some tickets to Wild Card weekend at NRG Stadium. Saturday, 3:30, because of course it is, against the Los Angeles Chargers, the visiting Chargers. If you want to be in there with some banging seats, listen to this right here. Also, if you want to just feel a little bit better, I don't know about better, but if you want to feel a little bit more informed about this, or at least let's talk through this, because Lopez, you're looking at this battle of the trenches, and there's a cliche, and I understand it's a cliche, but it's one that I like.
Yeah.
That goes, the game at its essence is about blocking and tackling, and that blocking is happens in the trenches. We may be looking at this offensive line versus the defensive line, this matchup. Wrong, you say.
First of all, a mini confession before confessions in the next segment.
Okay.
I went full Reggie Atitula.
You're welcome.
And I went into...
That's actually not a good thing.
Success rate and EPA.
Don't ever go full Reggie Atitula.
I did.
It's not comfortable.
I felt dirty.
It's not enjoyable.
I felt dirty doing
Well, I never feel dirty. I'll tell you that. Don't never put that on me. I take plenty of showers.
Well,
brush
I do.
My teeth well.
I felt
deodorant.
Dirty emotionally.
That's fair. That is accurate. Yeah.
So, like, we're sitting here going, hey, man, you know, their two ends are going to be a problem.
And those ends being
Bosa,
Khalil Mack,
and Khalil Mack.
Nick Bosa. You could take that interior as
Joey
well.
Bosa.
Did I say, dang it, I always hate to do that. Joey.
I did, too.
It's Joey, because Nick played for the
One of the Bosa boys.
That's how I like saying it. I just turn all the... Every twin, then I'm like, oh, man, I'm not going to remember. Like, oh, man, it's easy. I'll remember. But I just be throwing the boys, right? Like, there's the McCown boys, because I never remember which one of them is which. You mentioned the Bosa
Harbaugh
boys.
The Harbaugh boys.
Got you in the chokehold.
Yeah, they do have
the Watt boys.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, I mean, Sebastian Joseph Day also on that defensive line is pretty damn good.
Yeah, but and by the way, a little trivia now that he's joined the Chargers, Zeke Elliott and Joey Bosa roommates at Ohio State. So they're back together.
Is there any chance that they sign Ezekiel Elliott to not play running back? Like, is he going to do anything else? They were like, we need some linebacker depth. Ezekiel Elliott, get out here.
So we're saying Blake Fisher, Laremy Tunsil, Cleo Mack, Joey Bosa. We got to watch that. Conversely, we're watching, you know, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter versus their tackles who are really, really good.
Possibly Rashawn Slater, definitely Joe Alt.
Yeah.
I need to see if, I mean, practice is going or is going to be happening here soon.
But I think those could, well, look, both teams are going to have some pressure on the opposing quarterback. And that's a good thing. For both teams, that's a good thing. The Texans rank, this is where I looked at your numbers there, Reggie.
Not my numbers. I don't know numbers.
I thought you developed them. I thought you came up
but
with
But if I developed
thing.
Them, I would not be sitting next to you right now. I'll tell you that.
Texans rank 31st in the NFL in success rate when pressured.
Correct.
Chargers?
Is anybody surprised by that number, by the way?
No. Chargers, 29th. So you would think, all right, that's where we need to be looking, right? Not so fast, my friend.
Yeah, Justin Herbert.
As Lee Corso might say.
Yeah, against the blitz, Justin Herbert, 16th in passer rating. Completion percentage is like a solid 65%, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, he just kind of, when you actually get pressure on him, when you're able to blitz him, he's not nearly as good. Now, the problem is, if you don't get home, like if he is there under no pressure, he has been one of the best quarterbacks, quite literally. If you're going to use passer rating, if that is a metric that passes your fancy, under pressure, or sorry, with no pressure, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert. That is the order.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he has been that damn good. And notice, I said those three guys, Joe Burrow is next. Mm-hmm. And we see the way that Joe Burrow has played, especially when he hasn't had pressure.
Right. Like,
that is the level of play that Justin Herbert has gotten. And again, the question is that no pressure versus pressure, are you able to execute that pressure? Now, this is a defensive line that you believe and that you know is very good. But that's also, again, offensive line and offensive.
And that's what the Chargers are saying, too.
Yeah.
The Chargers saying. So you would think, okay, they're going to – it's not a non-factor.
Correct.
Because whichever side gets the pressure on the opposing quarterback, as those numbers indicate, are going to probably have some success.
Agreed.
But the Texans have an advantage on the defensive line that the Chargers, frankly, do not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is on the interior.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw what some of these guys, have done. We've seen, Fotokasi, just go down the list. Rio, as they like to say, Mario Edwards, some of these other guys on the interior. And this is going to be about, you talk about cliches, I mean, between the tackles, this is where it's going to be determined. And this is where the Texans have a distinct advantage, not just with Joe Mixon and the cutbacks and the zone blocking scheme, but when they are on defense, the Texans, that is, when they're on defense, I mean, it's widely known that the interior of the Chargers offensive line is one of their weak spots.
That is correct. Yeah. If you'll allow me to quote some stats from everybody's favorite stat and grading website, Pro Football Focus, insert the requisite, kind of disclaimers mm-hmm. here. Sometimes it's subject or is largely subjective. Take of that what you will. When it comes to the true pass set grade, just talking about these linemen and their capabilities of pass blocking and so such. When it comes to the entirety of the grade across the offensive lines, the Texans rank 20th. Are you surprised?
I am not.
Okay. The Chargers rank 6th, but that is being bolstered very much by their tackles. Their tackles grades, because they break it down by position, tackle grades is 78. When it comes to their guards, 49.
Yeah.
And their center, 54. So, like, when it comes down to it, you can get pressure up the middle, or at least in theory, that is a place where they might be susceptible to pressure in the middle. So, hey, Tim Settle, this is going to be an opportunity for you to show out.
Tim Settle, Rio, as you mentioned. Fotokasi, Edwards, hell, Togiai had a game.
Yeah, are you sold on the idea that Foley will play?
I am not. Well, by the way, they're practicing today.
They are.
They're practicing today. I know it's normally Tuesday and off
Tuesday
day,
is
but
usually
they're playing
off day,
Saturday.
Exactly.
So we will get you some updates on that. Which leads to my other question, and this might be something that you guffaw at.
Guffaw.
That's a word I haven't used in a while.
I still don't know what that actually, like, I understand in theory. it's one of those words that I'm like, I've learned through context what it kind of is, but yeah. Guffaw, like, I can't actually think of
Figgy,
what
when
it
was
really
the last
is.
Time you guffawed?
Who?
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to be able to talk about that at work. I'm going to take you to HR.
don't
be asking him when he guffawed.
Are you going to ask me that in front of my wife?
How many times have you guffawed? Anyway, you might guffaw at this.
Is that akin to Tubin?
Well, which one, Jeffrey?
Is there another Tubin?
All right. You might guffaw at this.
Okay.
You might say this is crazy.
Yes.
But I think you have a distinct advantage on the interior, whether it's running run defense or pass pressure. And that is, how would you feel, especially as well as Derek Barnett has played, but sliding old Will Anderson in there occasionally on the interior with Derek Barnett on one side and Danielle Hunter on the other.
On third down, sure.
Yeah, he's done it. He did it at Alabama all the time.
On third down, sure.
Yeah.
Giving yourself an opportunity. The issue with this Chargers team is they're usually very good on first, second down. And this is a good question that comes in. Two things popped in my head. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm not great at holding space for one or another. The text line, is Danico Autry going to play? That is a good question that we'll get some answers to when we start seeing who's out there on the practice field and practice reports and everything, because that's another great mm-hmm. option when you talk about sliding in. That's Danico Autry's whole thing. On third down, you slide in, be like a tackle, go get the quarterback. But this Chargers team, at least historically over the season, has been good at early downs.
Yeah.
Which is a clear departure
from what the Texans
do. Yeah. But early downs, and they put themselves in manageable third down situations. Mm-hmm. And that serves to, mitigate some of the pressure that you can even get on a third down. If you're talking about third and two, that's a lot easier to handle, mm-hmm. a lot easier to maybe.
But again, you have an advantage on the interior.
Yeah, but how much does that advantage actually become fruitful if they're being able to get the ball out quickly or whatever, right? Get the ball out to like a Quentin Johnston out there on like a screen, allow him to use his speed and his mm-hmm. size on the perimeter or something, right? Just as a random example. But, you know, those types of things. How much can you do that if you... So, you're right. Like, I think that that advantage exists, but it's going to be also, in part, how much can you apply that advantage with the circumstances of the situation?
Sure.
Which means, obviously, being good on first and second down.
I'm kind of thinking about that. On the interior... whether it's third and short or whatever, I think you have an advantage. Third and passing situation, maybe slide somebody in there. Slide somebody in there and take advantage of their weakest spot. I really feel like the defensive line, we're looking at it kind of correctly because those ends are going to determine it on both sides. But the interior could be where the Texans have the best advantage. No question.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And just to circle back, because someone said that there was an emergency broadcast system update. My point on third downs is, yes, there's that advantage, but the Chargers have been good at being on early downs. They've been pretty good on the early downs, giving themselves manageable third downs. Mm-hmm. And so how much does that advantage then show up if you are allowing them to be in third and manageable third and short? And so, yeah, that's another place where you can make your advantage even more of an advantage by being better on early downs, which obviously goes without saying, just in a general capacity, but specific to this team, I think it makes it more important.
And then you talk about sacks, whether it's from the interior or the ends or both. You know, you pressure them up the middle and run them into Danielle Hunter or somebody on the end. Justin Herbert has been sacked nearly as much as C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud's been sacked the second most times in the NFL, been hit an awful lot. But Justin Herbert, the seventh most sack. So Herbert's had a very, very good year, but he hadn't been without the pressure either.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, sure. So that'll be an interesting space to watch. One of the things, though, is like, and this is where it's tough using the full season. And last year for the mm-hmm. Texans was a great example of this, right? If you use full season stats, you're accounting for various different ebbs and flows of a season. And for, you know, some of those things that you're talking about are great points. But then you look at Justin Herbert over the last few weeks, mm-hmm. and it's shifted, like, the mobility, the way that he's been able to use his legs as well. And it's not like he hasn't had that mobility, but he's really applied it
yeah.
a lot more in the last few weeks. And so that ability to run and escape becomes even more daunting for a defense that I think is more than capable of trying to, like, handle that and make it tough
mm-hmm.
on them. But that is another thing that then comes up when you talk about the idea of, hey, there's been a lot of sacks there. How does that look, though, when he is able to escape a little bit more?
Do we see Ezekiel Elliott?
Like, on the sideline? Sure, he'll be out there.
Well, that would be a story.
Just making him active?
Yeah, just making him active would be a story.
Well, I mean, you don't sign him and then not make him active, though,
Gus
right?
Gus Edwards is hurt. I think we will. We'll find out a lot more with their practices, you know, starting this today.
Yeah. I'm not at all worried about what Ezekiel Elliott brings. Like, the speed, the burst is absolutely not there. But I guess another thing that I go to is so much of the Chargers' yards are before contact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a lot of yards that are created by their offensive line getting off the ball and going and creating space. So maybe that ends up being more viable than I'm giving it credit for, just on the idea that, hey, the offensive line will create some of these yards, and all you have to do is hit the spot that you're supposed to.
You got to see more of Derek Barnett, don't you?
At the expense
somewhere,
of?
Somewhere. Well, what I'm saying, that's one of the reasons I feel like you can slide somebody on the inside. Maybe it's Barnett, although he's a little smaller. Compared to what Will Anderson can offer.
Like, I like what you're saying in theory. I just think at the expense of who?
Right? Nobody. Maybe a defensive tackle, like, you know, that's not going to be necessarily a pass, you know, demon, so to speak, a pass rushing demon. But
yeah, again, if you're sliding him inside on third down specifically,
it depends on
because like if
the
you're sliding him,
distance.
You slide him in there on yeah. early downs, and now
no, not on third down, not on early downs.
Okay,
yeah,
and then I don't know, but I mean. This is, I guess that's the beautiful thing about being able to ask that question is that this has been a defensive line group that you have so much benefit.
A lot
for.
Of confidence.
Actually, this is a little bit of a tease forward to one of my confessions.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking, you know, comparing this back to like 2011 Texans, like where that defensive line room, really shallow.
No.
This defensive line room, incredibly deep.
Very deep.
I mean, it's evident that this is a strength of the team and that They're gonna have to show up in a big way, but as you eloquently put, there's some places where they have an opportunity to really display.
You did not guffaw.
I did not.
Who?
Still not certain. Still not certain what that is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. It is indeed a Texans ticket Tuesday, wild card Saturday, 3:30 Texans Chargers. You want to be there? You got to get on them phone lines. 713-572-4610. Caller number 10.
Look at them lighting up.
Right now.
Look at them lighting up.
We'll be in the building for the Texans.
Like a Christmas tree.
Hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. You want to be there? Call in now. 713-572-4610.
Man, there's a lot of calls coming in.
I got hyped up. The music
there's
got me to that place.
A lot of calls coming in.
I hope I did it. Like, can you rate that for me on the text line as well? On 1 to 10.
I was in. I got inspired.
I was like, I might have gotten a little too loud.
No.
I think I started shouting.
Heck no.
All right. But yeah. Best of luck to all you folks. And let's look forward to seeing the winners out there at the stadium. And you as well. You can go ahead and make your way out to the stadium. Get yourself some tickets. Support the Texans. Make sure that it ain't a neutral site game like BCI was talking about the possibility.
Be there early, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, I want you to be able to hear the fireworks going off, letting people to get inside from inside.
From the inside.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it needs to be. So that as soon as the game starts, mm-hmm. The early down play that the Chargers are usually good at is stifled because of all this noise. How about that? Yeah. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about time to go in the loop for our lunchtime confessions. That'll happen next on Sports Radio 610.